And now from tiny eels to the cosmos. There's some celestial drama in the forecast for this weekend. Two solar flares this week have sent a geomagnetic storm hurtling toward Earth. This kind of giant magnetic pulse can cause problems. It can also make for some interesting viewing.
Kelly Beatty is senior contributing editor for Sky and Telescope magazine. He's with us now. Kelly, welcome back.
Hey, good afternoon.
Well, and tell us more about the solar flares that we've seen.
So, as Sasha said, there's this 1-2 punch headed our way, and the first wave has kind of crashed over us earlier today. The second is expected later today or tomorrow. What this means is that we're basically under attack by the sun. A supercharged shockwave of particles and magnetic field is going to wash over us. Our magnetic field around the Earth protects us, but only to some extent. And so we're on the lookout for things that might happen as when this arrives.
Well, and should we be worried about this? Because we know magnetic disturbances like this can cause all kinds of problems with communications equipment and power grids, right?
Certainly can. My sense from reading the reports is that this is a moderate storm. It's nothing to get too upset and excited about. But, you know, they're very difficult to predict. There's actually a solar weather prediction center out at in Colorado, and they're predicting a strong geomagnetic storm for tomorrow, Saturday.
Hmm. And Kelly, one meteorologist, I love this, described the sun as throwing temper tantrums this week, which I thought was a really great phrase. I understand, though, that sometimes these flares can lead to northern lights, the aurora borealis. So tell us how that might happen.
That's right. So the electrons in this storm, if it penetrates our magnetosphere, cascade down into the atmosphere, get the atmospheric molecules all excited, and it starts to glow, usually green. For really strong storms, it can be red or blue. And so the prediction right now is for anywhere north of, say, a line from Oregon to Illinois to New England, might see some auroras tonight or early tomorrow morning. Don't discount getting up before dawn, too. If it gets really intense, and I'm not making any predictions here, but it could press down a little bit farther, I think the people in the northern U.S. will have the best shot.
So just a bit more detail on that for people who want to go. Like, when should you wake up? What parts of the country where you have no chance and where? Give us more details for people
Florida,
who really—
forget it.
Yeah,
if you're in Texas,
if you're in Atlanta or Texas, you know, it takes a really strong storm to get down there because it tends to collapse in and around the polar region. So the more intense the storm, the farther south it proceeds. And I would think that here in New England, again, against around the northern tier of the U.S. is a good shot. This is one of those cases where you do want to look toward the north. You do want to get where it's as dark as you can away from light pollution and look for a green shimmering curtain that's dancing in the sky.
What time? Do we have to set our alarm in the middle of the night?
I would get up late, as late as possible, because when these two waves overtake each other, and it's going to combine for an even stronger storm than what we'll have right at the beginning tonight.
One thing that everybody can see or has been able to see is the supermoon, though. Is that gone now? Is that it for the supermoon?
Gone but not forgotten. There will be a really fat moon in the sky beginning around 10 o'clock, and the light from that moon will be competition for the aurora. So, you know, stay away from that if you can.
All right. Well, and if you can't see the aurora because you live too far to the south, at least you can see the supermoon. Kelly Beatty, senior contributing editor for Sky and Telescope magazine. Thanks, as always.
Hey, clear skies, everyone.
Here now is Here With You.